Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we're talking about what to look for when looking for a new job. What do you look for when you're looking for a new job? First of all, shout out to all my people out there that are trying to change jobs. Shout out to all my people out there who have been on jobs for years. Shout out to all my peoples out there that are doing their thing, making their money, happy in their careers, trying to move up the corporate ladder, whatever the case may be, you know, trying to get raises. Promotions, bonuses, whatever the case may be. You know, when you start working, whether you start at a young age or whether you get into the workforce at a later time, you're going to notice that all you do in your adult life for the rest of your life is work. Whether you have a 9-to-5 job, whether you have a career, whether you a career is paying other people because you start businesses and have that entrepreneurial spirit or just a business builder, whatever the case is, you'll know and be introduced to the fact that you work for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life, you're going to be putting in that pain. For the rest of your life, you're going to be answering to somebody. For the rest of your life, you are going to be dealing with somebody who has some type of dominion about your financial position. And it's real, baby. Really real. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to get into that tonight. Because working for the rest of your life shouldn't be discouraging. It shouldn't be. As long as you can work for the rest of your life doing something that you like to do. Doing something that is beneficial to you. Unfortunately, some people stay in positions and jobs for way too long after the good part, the fulfilling part the exciting part, the loving part has long since gone away, dissipated, disappeared, and has completed itself. But it doesn't have to be that way. You know, I've worked with people who believe that their plight of work was already cemented in stone when they were very young. I don't know about y'all, but I think it's, I think that it's a little disheartening to listen to somebody in their 20s talk about retiring at a job that they have in their 20s. Like, retirement is 40 years away from you. It's a whole lifetime away. How do you know that you're going to want to do what you're doing in the place that you're doing for that long of a period? Well, some people have followed in other people's footsteps. Like, for example, if you chose to be a policeman, for example, there's a good chance that you are figuring on being a policeman or working for the police force for the rest of your life. If by chance your dad did it, your grandfather did it, you may come from a long lineage of policemen. And you might think that this is a good career. I really like it. I've always been interested in it. When I was a kid in school, when the teachers and other adults asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I said I wanted to be a policeman. I wanted to be a cop. So that might actually be your plight. It doesn't necessarily have to be. And one thing that growing up and the future and the present day situation politically, socially, and whatever has shown us is that we may have to change careers sometimes in our lives. You know, even though I have a lot of contempt for bad cops, for example, since we were talking about policemen, and this is just an example, I'm not taking this opportunity to just to put down any cops. Not today. I could do that another day. Not today. But when you think about, let's say, a bad cop that has been a cop their whole life, so maybe coming straight out of high school, as soon as they were old enough to become a cop, they became a cop. So whatever they did before, you know, working at a store, lumber yard, doing odd jobs, side, whatever the case may be, whatever they were doing before, they were just waiting to become a cop. So as soon as they went into the police academy, you know, took the test, got into the police academy, went through that, and started to being a policeman. You know, they may have been thinking like, yeah, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. There are a lot of perks to being a cop. And there really are. There are a lot of perks to being a cop. Well, during your bad cop duties, if you were a bad cop, a crooked cop or whatever, you may have been kicked out of the force. You know, you bashed in one head too many, planted too much evidence for the wrong person or whatever it was that exposed your misconduct may have gotten you put off the force. And even though most of me says, aha, that's what you get. That's what all y'all get. My more human, compassionate side says, well, wow, that must be a real kick in the ass to have to plan on retiring from the police force, to having to leave the police force and try to do something different. And that may have been totally off of your radar. You know, being a policeman gives you access to a lot of different things. There are a lot of perks to being a cop. You know, you get meals for free. People let you into to places, concerts, things like that. A lot of times all you have to do is show your badge, I'm a cop. Straight like that. Most of the time you don't have to worry about getting traffic tickets. Even when you travel, you show them your badge or whatever. Oh yeah, you're a policeman over here in Pennsylvania. Oh okay, you know you were going a little fast over here in Arizona, but yeah, I mean, cops look out for cops. Cops don't normally give cops tickets unless the cop is black. I mean, unless the cop is white and the off duty cop is black, and yeah, well, we all know about that kind of stuff. But still, you know, to have to change careers when you planned on retiring after that time, you know, I can imagine how depressing that would be, how life-changing and life-altering that would be. And I've seen retired police officers be out of sorts and not really know what to do, you know, because some police officers retire before they're in their 60s. So if you retire when you're in your 50s, because you've already put in 30 years, and you can do that. You can retire. Same thing with military personnel. And a lot of people choose a life and a career in the military because their parents did it. Their grandparents did it. You know, my brother-in-law, for example, comes from a whole family of warlords. Everybody goes in the army. Everybody. All the kids, all the cousins, all the brothers, all the sisters, all the aunts, uncles. I swear, everybody has served. That's their thing. So some of them have chosen to have a career in the military. So, you know, sometimes when you retire early, you know, you don't really know what to do with yourself. You know, a lot of times we talk about retiring. We'd be like, yeah, man, you know, I would travel the world. I would do this, that, the third, blah, 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 blah. But when the time comes, your body having to get used to and adjusted to not doing that routine day in and day out, it can really, really mess some people up, make them fall into a depression. Some people commit suicide over it. It's crazy. You know, you lose that fulfillment of duty, of service, of just being relevant and important. You know what I'm saying? A body in motion tends to stay in motion. When you stop the motion, it causes a commotion. Anyway, we're talking about what to look for when looking for a new job. What should you look for when you're looking for a new job? So I want to talk to all my people out there who are actually looking for a new job, and some people who may already be satisfied with the company or the place that they work for and maybe just want to advance in the company. You know, a lot of companies have opportunities for advancement. Some companies are straight dead-end jobs. Like, nope, you ain't going no farther than this. Unless you do this, go back to school, you know, all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? There are some companies where you won't move up even if you go back to school. You'll be able to work somewhere else, but you won't be able to do it here. Some places are dead-end jobs, but they pay well enough for people to be satisfied with the end that's dead. Let's get it popping. Urban Therapy with Sun 752. With this the daily go get a business show. We do this every single day. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. We break it down, baby. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. Every day it rains, and the DG will do the same. I am your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Daily Go Get a Mism Show all up in your area. I'm feeling like a real man should, and I hope y'all feel like real men and women should. Also, tonight on the Daily Go Get a Mism Show, we are talking about what to look for when looking for a new job. So for all my job seekers out there, let me holler at you. First of all, it's my opinion that when you're looking for a new job, the most important thing you should be looking for in a new job is new, increased, better wages, more money, better pay. I understand that sometimes people may take a lower position or they may accept less money than they were working for or making before so they can move up in a company that has a greater upside. I get all of that. Because in my mind, as far as I'm concerned, that's still looking for more money. Just because you're not getting it right now doesn't mean that you won't get it later. So getting the opportunity right now to have it later is like going for it right now. It's almost like getting it right now. And a lot of this stuff is mental. And it's important to remember how mental looking for a new job is because it's going to be a job. One thing about looking for a new job is that it is a job. It's a job. You know, you have, before the internet, you used to have to beat the pavement. You used to have to knock on doors. You used to have to ask for managers and supervisors and owners, you know, are y'all hiring? Are y'all accepting applications? I remember having to get dressed up to go look for a job. Summertime, it's hot outside, but you had to put on your slacks. You had to put on your nice shirt, maybe even a tie, maybe even a sports jacket or something like that, trying to score a on-site interview. Because sometimes when you filled out the application, sometimes if you were lucky, you could get an on-site interview. Boom. You're already ready, looking the part. It's funny because here you are dressed up for a job that doesn't require you to be dressed up. But nonetheless, it's a professional look. And that's what the companies may have been looking for in a candidate like you. One thing to remember when you're looking for a job is that you are the talent. You are the talent. They need you. Don't fall into the mindset that I need this job and I hope they hire me because I really need this job. I need money. I have a family. I got kids. I got bills. I got things that are coming around every 30 days and they're coming through with a blaze. That shit is making me crazy and I don't know what to do. It's worse than all of my days. I need this job. I need this money. Yo, people is laughing, but y'all, really ain't funny. I got to get this job and I don't care what I got to do. I don't want to steal and rob, but I will do it. I put a gun right to your chest or right to your dome and I might take it home. Give me that money right out of your wallet. I don't really want to do this. I ain't getting brolic. But listen, you are the talent. Jobs only hire you so you can make money for them. You are the talent. You are the talent. The more talent you have, the more accolades you have, the more experience you have, the better the skills, the more skills that you have, the more valuable you are to a company. And that is what you will use in order to set your price. Remember that when you get a job, when you go for a job, do not write this down. Do not accept the offer that they give you. Jobs will have you thinking that they only pay this much. But in reality, most jobs have a salary range. They have a salary range. So they pay between this price and that price. Let's say on the listing, maybe you went to Indeed.com or Career Builder or Monster or whatever job seeking service that you might use on the internet. They may tell you what the salary is per year. But there's actually a salary range. When each position becomes available, there's a budget that is allocated to the company or to that account for how much you can pay an employee. So it'll be between this and that. They'll have you believing like, oh yeah, well, the job only pays this. Let's say $30,000 a year. That's how much the job pays. If it's listed for $30,000, more than likely, the range is between $30,000 and $40,000. It's up to you and your experience to negotiate that. Don't fall into thinking that if they offer you this position and you turn it down because of salary, that it's over then. No. Now they're going to be looking at you differently because they know that you know the game. So they're going to play the game with you. So many times people think that if I don't accept this position, I know they have other candidates that were waiting to take this position, and they might just call them and then they'll get the job that I wanted. Doesn't work that way. It does not. It absolutely, let me write this in the comments. Because and I'm going to put it in all caps. It does not. Maybe if I could spell, it does not work that way. It doesn't work that way. By the time they have decided to make you an offer for that job, they have eliminated everybody else that they might call or that they might consider. They are out of the picture. A lot of times they will call those people and let them know, listen, you know, you weren't considered for the position, but thank you. We'll keep your resume on file for a certain amount of time, and if things change in that time, then we may give you a call again if you're available. As far as you're concerned, once they make you that offer, they're ready to play ball. It's a negotiation thing. It's a negotiation thing. That's why when they ask you what your salary requirements are, you should try not to answer that question. You should talk about a salary range. So when they ask, for example, well, what are your salary requirements for this job? How much money are you looking to make? You say, well, you know, that's negotiable. And they might say, well, what do you mean it's negotiable? I mean, like, how much you mean? Then you should ask, well, what's the salary range for this position? As if you don't know, because you know. And they say, well, the salary range is between this and that. And if that suits you, you say, okay, I think I can live within that range. And now sometimes they may press you like, what do you mean you can live within that range? Well, how much do you want to make? We need to know. Don't get pumped. Don't get scared. Tell them, well, I'm looking to make, let's say, $70,000 a year. I'm looking to make $70,000 a year. I was already making, it doesn't even matter how much. You don't have to tell them the truth about how much you were making. This is how much you want to make. This is a new area. You know, you don't want to get caught up in, well, I was only making $40,000 a year, but I know this job is worth 70, but, you know, I'll take 55. No, if you want 70, you stand pat on 70. If you know that the position pays that much money, then you stand pat at it. Like, yeah, I want to make $70,000 a year. I'll accept no less than 60, let's say $68,000 a year. They know you're playing ball. Like, you only accept within $2,000 of a range of difference. Like, yeah. And let them know. You're going to get what you, I'm worth it. I'm worth way more than this little $70,000, pish posh. That ain't no money. Trust me. For what you're going to get from me, you're going to be making hundreds of thousands. When the year comes, y'all, I'm going to be feeling like y'all got me at a discount. I'm going to be feeling like y'all got me at Five Below. Like, I can't believe I gave y'all my services for the low. That's how you have to play it. They want to see that confidence. They want to see that definition of what am I trying to say? It's confidence, but, you know, I'm vocabularily challenged tonight for some reason. But the bottom line is they want a candidate that is confident in what they do and know what they're bringing to the table and is ready to go. They don't want somebody who's wishy-washy and is like, well, I'll try. I think I can do it. No, they don't want nobody like that. They want somebody that's going to go in there and be like, yo, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go now. You know what I mean? If we could get it started today, I already brought my clothes. I'm ready to get started. You know what I'm saying? You're going to love this. They like that. You don't have to be cocky. You don't have to be overconfident, but let them know. Like, no. This is what I do. This is what I do. And the chances that you'll get hired are higher. It'll start to increase. So, yeah, those are just some little insider tips about, you know, how to interview and things like that. Some other things, let me see, how we doing on time? How we doing on time? Because I got a lot of stuff to tell y'all. Some of the stuff that I know y'all already know. Some of these things that y'all, some of these things y'all might not know, but I'm trying to put you on. But like I said, don't be afraid to negotiate your salary. Remember, this is what you're going to get paid. If you choose a salary range that's out of their range, they'll let you know. And then you can always say, well, all right. Okay, I can do it. I can do it for that salary. However, is there some way that we can negotiate for more benefits or something like that? That way it won't seem like you just tried to play them and then they resisted and then played you back. You want to make sure that you don't seem like, you know, you're selfish or whatever. They're selfish and you're selfish. However, neither one of y'all want to appear as being such. So you should always work for a salary that you choose and that satisfies you. You should also work for a company that benefits you. Some people will just go to any place that pays them the money that they want to make. And then when they get there, they realize, like, working for this place is almost like losing money. This ain't a good look. The company's practices are terrible. The ethics, the company ethics are ugh. The company atmosphere is ugh. Employee retention is ugh. It's like a revolving door. They're in, they're out, they're in and out. Not a good look. Not a good look. When a company does not have the ability to keep, especially management personnel, it lets you know a lot. It lets you know a lot about how they conduct themselves in business. And that's not a good thing. And that's probably not a place where you would like to work. So now we have the benefit of having the internet where you can go online and ask questions and pretty much get a scouting report on any company that you want to work for. Use those resources to your advantage. Use those resources. You know? You can see from past employees and customers and clients how they seem to conduct their business. Some people are very, very candid online about their experiences working for the company or dealing with the company. And you start to see. You know, you can do your homework on that. So any company, especially if it's a company that trades publicly, if it's a publicly traded company. And even if it's not, somebody on the internet has said something about this business. Now, if all of the reviews about this business are 5-star, 4-star, oh yeah, they're great, blah 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 blah. A lot of times they're probably fabricated. You ain't gonna tell me that there's not a disgruntled employee somewhere, even if it was the employee's fault. It's somebody mad. Somebody's mad. And you know how people are when they leave a company and they be mad. They be like, man. Man, fuck this job, man. You know what I mean? Y'all don't care. No, y'all don't care about nobody around here. Y'all selfish. You know, y'all unprofessional. I ain't like working here. And you know what? You know what? And later on, y'all gonna get y'all. Y'all gonna get y'all. I know. Cause listen, karma's a bitch. Karma's a bitch. And that bitch be coming. She be coming. That's all right. And God don't like ugly. God don't like ugly. And y'all ugly. Y'all ugly. The fat bitch. You are all y'all ugly. This company ugly. So y'all can. You ain't gonna tell me that somebody.
Why are you looking at me like that, Cat? You ain't gonna tell me that nobody that ever left that company ain't mad. Somebody didn't get paid what they wanted to get paid. Somebody didn't get a job that they wanted to get. Somebody moved over them. You know what I mean? Some young hot shot from that went to college got the job just because he had a degree, and somebody's been working there for 20 years and they didn't get the position, or they had to work under that young hot shot from straight out of college, and you know they mad. So beware all of the reviews that you find about a company are all good. More than likely, they paying people to put those reviews out there, and they're sanitizing the review board so it looks like everything is okay. You know, but you want to work for a company that works for you. You know, if your thing is salary, then you want to work for a company that pays you the salary that you want to make. If your thing is benefits, then you want to make sure that you work for a company, you choose a company that has the type of benefits package that you're looking for. And they're out there. They're out there. You know, you may be looking for a balance of salary, benefits, retirement, company atmosphere. You may want to work around people of like minds. Let's say like you're working for a nonprofit. So if you're working for a nonprofit, more than likely you want to work around people who are really in belief, that share the same beliefs, common beliefs about what this company is doing and how it is serving the community or something like that. So you want to be mindful of these things. And believe me, remember, you are the talent and you have the power to make these decisions before you get into the company. What you don't want to do is get all hype and get all eager and, you know, because your money is running low and you just say, all right, I'll take anything. Many people have done that. And it's going to have an effect on your work performance, your attitude, your ability to work with others and all of that kind of stuff. And other people's ability to work with you. It's going to have you're not going to want to go to work. You're going to use all your PTO days all early in the game. You know, nothing is worse than going to a job that takes you all of your mental and emotional strength just to get up in the morning to go to every day. Because that 8 hours is going to seem like you're doing a double every day. Every day. Every day it rains. Every day it rains. And the DG will do the same. Break it down, baby. Every day it... Okay, anyway. So, yeah, you want to make sure that you go for salary. Don't accept the salary that they give you if it doesn't fit with you. Even if it does. If, let's say, you were going for $50,000 and they offered you $50,000. 60. Go for the 60. If they offer you 50, that means you could probably get 55, 57, something like that. There's a range. Every company has a salary range, except jobs that are union jobs. The union ain't having that. Everybody got to get paid the same thing unless you have like tenure, you know, you got years in. But starting out, everybody gets paid the same thing. So with union jobs, there is no play. But there's still other ways that you can make money, even if it is a union job. Like I've managed at jobs that had a union where you got more money for being a shop steward. Some places, some unions don't pay extra money for being a shop steward. I guess you just got that power for nothing. Well, it is a way. It is a way to be able to, you know, get out of your work detail and all of that and not get in trouble. So there's some benefits there. But there's some places that have leads and supervisors. You know, they pay a little bit more for managerial-like positions, you know, lead supervisors, shop stewards, things like that. So, you know, those are things you might want to take into consideration too. Plus, when you work for a union job, union jobs are always going to fight to get more money. That's their whole job. That's their job. The union's job is to protect its union members. I mean, they collecting that money from them every month. So you want to give up your $50 a month to your union, and they're not fighting for better wages, better benefits and all that kind of stuff? No, that's what the union is for. Non-union jobs, you're out there by yourself. But with non-union jobs, you are able to negotiate a higher salary. So there are benefits to non-union. There are benefits to union. The real benefits to a union job is that if you are a problem employee, like you the type that feels like you have to speak what's on your mind and you get in trouble at work, you know, you get written up or disciplined a lot, then the union will stand behind you and act like you didn't do nothing. If you ain't a person that gets in trouble at work, you just giving the union your money for nothing. That's the way it's going to seem, for real. The union works best for people who get in trouble at work a lot. The union kicks ass for people who get in trouble a lot. You cannot tell a union member that they can't do something. Union members be like, I don't see why I can't punch a supervisor in the face. Why not? Why not? She was in my face. I punched her in the face. This union corny. I can't believe they didn't fight for me. Look like you fought for yourself. Okay, but anyway, okay. But once again, you know, for my people out there that are looking for jobs that aren't working, remember that looking for a job is a job. So, you know, you may be frustrated that jobs aren't calling back, or the ones that are calling back aren't scheduling interviews, you know, or that the right kind of jobs aren't out there. They don't seem like they're available. Things just aren't moving. Meanwhile, you're stuck at this dead-end job. Meanwhile, you're about to get laid off. Meanwhile, your unemployment is about to run out, or, you know, welfare is about to cut off your food stamp. Whatever the case may be with you, you know, the better prepared and equipped you are to get a job, the faster the process will move along. You'll find that things might be moving slow for a month, maybe even two, and then all of a sudden, job interviews and offers will start raining down after you already accepted a position. It happens. Looking for a job is a job. Looking for a job is a job, but do your job well. Learn how to do that job. And I can talk about this because I've changed jobs how many times since 2017. I may have changed jobs six times since then. Real trap. I had a shitty job I had a shitty job between 2013 and 2014. I'm sorry, 2013 and 2017 for 4 years. After that, I jumped around a lot. I started learning how certain things worked and whatever. And, you know, but I already knew how to get a job. I was always good at that. So, if you have a resume, you want to update your resume every time you get a job. Update your resume immediately too. Don't wait. Soon as you get a job, and you start fulfilling that job description, update your resume. I think it's a good idea for me personally. To keep your resume popping, don't stop looking for a job just because you got a job. And the reason I'm going to say that is because other jobs don't stop looking for a candidate because of you. They're always looking for somebody younger, somebody less experienced, but somebody more willing to work for less money than you. Jobs treat people who have been working on jobs for years like shit. They treat them like cell phone companies. It didn't used to be that way. Before, your tenure, your seniority used to give you all the clout. Now, they be trying to get you up out of there. You know, the closer you get to retirement, it's like they got an electrical fence up there where retirement is. You know, you just about, here you are, 60 years old. You getting close to that retirement. They put that electric fence where the retirement is. Your pension is electric. Ah! Yo! What's up with that? Oh, that's pension. Don't try to touch that. You ain't old enough to touch that. Yeah, I know. I've been working here for 25 years. We get all that. But that's pension. That's pension right there. You not there yet. You ain't but 60 years old, youngin. Holla back, youngin. Woo, woo. Holla back, youngin. Woo, woo. Nah. Ah! Yeah. So I've seen jobs get rid of people right before they became pension eligible. I've seen them harass them. I've seen them issue unnecessary excessive disciplines on them, progressive discipline. So let's say it was the first offense, verbal, written, then written warning, then a 5-day suspension, then a 10-day suspension, and then termination. And I've seen them get from that verbal written all the way to termination in less than a year. I've seen them do it. Now, of course, you can say that, well, that's the employee's fault because they shouldn't have been getting in trouble. But certain jobs have an interest, and they will pay supervisors and managers to get cats out of there. I've seen them do it. I'm not going to call out company names, but any of y'all who know me and y'all know the places that I've worked, y'all probably heard some of my conversations. There's some very well-known companies out here that have some very, very unscrupulous business practices. And they treat tenured, seniority-having employees like cell phone companies treat you. You know how you've been with T-Mobile, you've been with Sprint, you've been with AT&T, you've been with Verizon for how long? You've been with them like 10 years. And they treating you like chopped liver. You be like, yo, this bill high. What can I do to get it down? They're like, well, you can discontinue the service. Like, well, why don't you do that? You don't want to do that. You've been with us too long. But the new customers, they be giving them all kinds of promotions. And, you know what I mean? The cable companies and the cell phone companies treat the existing existing customers like chopped liver, crap, shit. And they do everything in their power to get the new customers. They treat them like royalty. And there's some businesses out here that treat tenured employees the same way. You don't want to work for a company that does that. Now, how would you know that they do that? You got to ask around. You got to do your research. And that's why I say that looking for a job is a job in and of itself. So you got to learn how to do that job. Learn and make the decision about where you want to work and where you want to make your money, because it really all comes down to you being the talent and you deciding to either take your talents down to South Beach or keep it up here on the East Coast. Even though South Beach is the East Coast, I never understood how they cut Florida out of the East, out of being the East Coast, but it is. Definitely the same time zone, right? Okay. So, yeah. How much time we got left? Okay. Last but not least, when going into an interview. Okay, wait a minute. Let me finish up a little bit more about that resume. Learn how to write a resume. Learn how to structure a resume. You know, a lot of people try to circumvent this process. Don't do it. Don't do it. Ask somebody who knows how to write a resume to help you with your resume. Or go online and see what your resume should look like. You know, I was always good at writing a resume, but I found out you can always be better. And here's how I learned how to write a good resume and make it even better. For a little bit of time, I worked for a temp agency, and I gave the temp agency my resume.
And they were like, this is a good resume. But they said, well, we're going to take your resume and we're going to put specific things on there that we know companies are looking for. So when they gave me back that resume, I said, oh. All they did was flip, bounce, switch around some things that I had on there already, but they put it in a way that they knew companies looked for, the companies that were their clients. So I said, oh, okay. So now I have two resumes. I have one if I'm looking for this job and one if I'm looking for that job. But you start to incorporate, you know, when you see the way that somebody has successfully done something, you should copy that. You know, if you don't bite nobody's rhymes, you don't take nobody's words. But when it comes to technique, yeah, you do that. You do that. You do that. You see success, you copy success. Call it inspiration. Call it inspiration. You remember that song by D'Angelo? How does it feel? Didn't he copy Prince's whole style when he made that song? But it was a hit, wasn't it? Hey, look. Hey, he said Prince was his inspiration. It was his inspiration. He was inspired. Well, you be inspired too. Inspired by success. Don't be out there feeling your way in the dark. Don't let your ego or your fear of rejection, don't let that stop you from getting what you want and what you need. I was going to talk a little bit about interviewing. When you go into an interview, one thing that human resources or whoever the hiring managers are, they set up interviews to make themselves look like they're in control. And they are. They have the job, but remember, you're the talent. You are the talent, sir or ma'am. You are the talent. They need you. These jobs aren't becoming available because of job creation. You know how in politics, they be talking about job creation. There's no such thing. You either need employees to help you make more money or you don't. That's it. There's no job creation. There's no such thing. They just say that in politics, you know, to get votes. What's going on, T. Carrie Wright? Thank you for that super sticker. I appreciate me some of you. Appreciate me some of you. Thank you for the super sticker. I appreciate it. Appreciate it mucho. And y'all, you know, don't be ashamed to, y'all want to give out a super sticker, you know what I mean? But anyway, in an interview, they will try to make themselves seem like they're in control. And they have every right to do that. But remember, you must keep in mind whether you want to work for this company or not. So as they're interviewing you, you interview them. They want to make sure you're the right type of fit as an employee to work for them. You should be making sure that they are the right type of fit for you to work for. Treat yourself like a business. Think of yourself like a business. Don't think of yourself as an employee. Think of yourself as a business because you are a business. A business is one legal person. That's what a corporation is. It's a legal person. So your corporation may receive a salary, but you see, when you get a job, they make you sign all of this stuff. That doesn't sound like just a run-of-the-mill employee. There are facts, figures, regulations, rules, laws that have to be followed. And you signed all of that. You didn't even read all that kind of stuff. This stuff, all kinds of stuff in the contract, stuff about what you can post on social media and their right to be able to discipline you or terminate you based on that. It may have something on there about you having to leave your page open so they can see what you post, things like that. And best believe, they go and check people's social media all the time. As soon as they get your name on that resume, they go
Let me go on Facebook. Let me go on Instagram. Let me see. Let me go on LinkedIn. Let me go on TikTok, whatever. Let me see if they on there twerking, holding guns, throwing up gang signs and all that kind of thing. Yeah, they want to see. They want to see. And some jobs have rules that govern that. So read those. Read what you're signing. Ask questions. Ask them questions like, what type of candidate would be best? Like, what would be the number one candidate that y'all would be looking for? If you can ask them this, like, who would be the best candidate to suit your needs? Ask them things like that. Because after they tell you, you can kind of exhibit those qualities right there in the interview. Make them tell you what they want. Then be what they want, if that's what you want to be, if that's what you want to do, if you think that it suits you. Also, ask them, you know, other questions that will make them tell you what kind of company they are and what kind of business practices that they have, that they display or that they do. Ask them questions like, I'm sorry, I got off track. That's it. Okay. I asked to ask them, you know, what would the best candidate do? Oh, ask them about employee retention. Ask them how long do employees normally stay at the job? Ask them how long. You know, what's your longest tenured employee? How long was the person that had my position before? How long were they here? They have to be transparent about it. I mean, they could lie, but that would let you know right then and there. Oh, this is the type of company that hides their toys under the bed instead of cleaning up the room. Well, you have to make a decision about whether you want to work for a company like that or not. But the choice is yours, homie. The choice is yours. Man, I have more that I wanted to tell y'all, but we're gonna have to end it there. I'm gonna have to do these birthday shout-outs. But let me shout out y'all. I wanna thank y'all for coming through. I wanna thank y'all. I didn't get a chance to read y'all comments, but I know that y'all were probably in there talking that good stuff. Shout out to my girl Cal Chamber, Lemmy Favorita. Always a great time to see ya. And Stacey White, thanks for coming on through tonight. You know everything will be all right, yeah. And my brother from another mother, Norris Hill, sit back, relax, do your thing, Max and Chill and G. Carrie Wright. I'm morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your sight. And Rasheen, Queen Rasheen, you know I'm down with you being all over the scene. And new person. Hold on. I saw somebody. Oh, Shirley, the world's most precious and greatest pearl in the world. You're not new, but you're still great. That's for sure. Devotion. What's going on, Devotion? Thanks for coming on by. Appreciate it. And Mia Cunningham, you know who I am. Thanks for coming on through. And Devotion said, an updated and well-constructive resume is so important. Yes, it is. Hey, I see y'all out there helping each other in the comments. That's what's up, man. Appreciate that. Good stuff. Like I said, I wish I had a little bit longer to do this, but I can't do this forever. But hopefully, you know, some of these things will help y'all. If y'all visit the comments after the show, you know, I can give y'all some more tips in there if y'all have some more questions or whatever. Or you can email me. sun752@aol.com. Yes, I have an AOL. I'm consistent. Thank you. I'm a tenured AOL. People be like, yo, you old. You still got an AOL address? Yes, I do. Email addresses don't expire. They don't expire. Well, maybe like Earthlink. But listen, yeah, I got an AOL. sun752@aol.com. If you want to email me, go ahead and email. You know what I mean? Stop hating. Anyway, we got some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious.
November 7th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R. They are S-E-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-C. They get number one out the box. Jessica. Jessica, also known as Jessie Jane. Happy birthday to you, Jessica. And she's a go-getter and down with the crew. Appreciate me some you. And Cheryl Miles, turning 65 years old today. Happy birthday to you, Cheryl. And Sharon Sheard, turning 60 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Kimberly Allen, happy birthday to you. And Marie Michelle Lavoit, turning 35 years old today. And Alicia Williams, happy birthday to you. And Gail Cutter, happy birthday to you. And Tanya Kunda, turning 45 years old today. And Vince Costello, the unusual fellow, happy birthday to you. And last, our girl, go get a Joanne Cheek, happy birthday to you. And last but not least, my girl, Erica Wise, happy birthday to you. I want to say happy birthday to all of y'all and anyone else out there who shares his birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious November 7th. I hope that today finds you a good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. All of y'all go ahead and turn up, but don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud. Can hear you. I rock out, rock on it, do the damn, the rock out, rock on it, do the damn, rock out, rock on it, do the damn thing, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings, you do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Thanks for that super chat devotion. And she says, as always, great show. Thank you for the knowledge. I appreciate me from you. Thank you. Listen, when it comes to looking for a job, remember, looking for a job is a job, but try to do that job as well as possible and get better at that job. Increase your skills at that job. It's going to be worth it in the long run. Do your homework. Make sure that these companies are the companies that you want to work for, and make sure that you keep your mind on your money. Remember, you're the only one that's going to be getting that check. You're the only one that's going to be receiving that dough. So try to make sure that it's the kind of money that you're looking for. Don't be afraid. Don't go into these interviews. Don't be a punk. But also, don't be all unprepared and overconfident and like, oh, yeah, I'm the man you're looking for. And don't go in there dressed all scantily clad, looking like Saturday night at the club. We're not doing that. And don't go in there smelling like you doused yourself with a whole bottle of cologne or whatever. That's not a good look. You know what I mean? If you know you have a male recruiter or interviewer, don't be wearing locus. Don't be showing your titties. Be professional. And the word professional only means that you get paid. So look like you're ready to be paid. You know what I mean? And if you get a job, try to remember that nobody hired you to make your own rules. So many people forget that. They get on jobs and start telling jobs what they ain't going to do and what they ain't, how they ain't. Didn't nobody hire you for that. Business is done when both sides are satisfied with the outcome. That's when business is done. You know, so all of this, remember when you was looking for a job, you needed the money, you wanted to get your bills paid, you wanted to take care of your family, you wanted to have money to be able to shop and travel and drink and party and all that kind of stuff. So don't forget that that was the reason that you got the job in the first place, the reason that you looked for the job in the first place. Now you want to, it's all about you being social and standing up for your rights and trying to stand up for people that ain't benefiting you in any kind of way. Be professional. Remember, you came there to get this money. Don't let anything stand in the way of you getting it. You know what I'm saying? All right. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. Blog Talk, let me get you.